The word of the Lord for this special evening from Matthew chapter 26. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. This is the word of the Lord, and this is our text also for this evening's message. Yes, I would like to talk person to person, heart to heart, with each one of you about our Lord's Supper. And especially on Maundy Thursday, the night when he instituted this supper, which is to last until the end of time, until he comes again in glory. And I want you to remember on this night, the Lord Jesus, he took the bread. And it says, he gave thanks. Other translations say he blessed it. And then he broke it and gave it to them. Then he took the cup, and it says he gave thanks and distributed it to them. Now, the Greek word for give thanks is eucharistastas. And in the English, we get the word Eucharist. That's another name for the Holy Communion. In fact, I can think of five different names for the Holy Communion. Okay, that would be Holy Communion, Lord's Supper, Lord's Table, the breaking of the bread, and the Eucharist. I hope we get familiar with that term, the Eucharist, because it literally means meal of thanksgiving. So as our Lord gave thanks on the night he instituted this meal, we should learn to come with thankful hearts as we come to the Lord's table. But as with everything in life, it's also possible for us to take the Lord's Supper for granted. Think about it. We can take anything for granted if we don't focus in on it properly. So it's possible to come to the Lord's table with a blank mind, and you're not even thinking about the Lord. Or it's possible to go through Holy Communion like a ritual, something mechanical that we're supposed to do. Sometimes Christians neglect the Lord's Supper because they don't think it's all that important. But that's a very dangerous thing to do, because in the Lord's Supper, we're dealing with the Lord God himself. We are dealing with the blood of the Lamb. We are dealing with Jesus Christ himself, who died for our sins. We are dealing with holy things, with eternal values, with special blessings. So we don't want to take it for granted. We always want to come with thankful hearts and be able to say, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." And I would like all of us to say that kind of in a loud voice. Let's say it together. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." And I would like to give you now some very important reasons why we all need to give thanks. We don't come grumbling. We don't come with an unthankful heart. We come giving thanks. And here's our first reason. We give thanks because in this supper, we have a very special, visible, tangible expression of God's love for us. Now, a husband will kiss his wife to show that he loves her. And with every kiss and hug and tender embrace, The love relationship grows deeper and stronger. Anybody who's ever been in love knows it takes more than just words. It's got to be followed through with action. But you don't want to be like the husband whose wife said, "Why don't you ever tell me that you love me?" He said, "Well, on the day we got married, I told you that I loved you, and if I ever change my attitude on that, I'll tell you." He thought once was enough. Well, in the Holy Communion, we're dealing with the Lord Jesus here, and I know the pastor and the elders will be distributing the elements. But you've got to see the invisible now tonight. I want you to see the invisible, the Lord Jesus coming and putting his arms around you and hugging you and giving you a kiss on your forehead. And he's saying to you, "I love you, and I'll do everything I can to see you safely through until we're finally at the marriage banquet feast in heaven." That's what your Lord is saying to you. You've got to see him as he does that. And as you come regularly, humbly, repentantly, your love relationship with the Lord Jesus grows deeper and stronger. But someone may say, "Do I really need to go to Holy Communion often when I can receive basically the same blessings through the Word?" And if it's possible, if you're marooned on a desert island, not a desert island, an ocean island somewhere out in the Pacific, that yes, if you had the Bible, you could remain in the faith and die in the faith and go to heaven. But is it just enough to say, "I love you" with words? Isn't it better when we have the words and the actions going together? And in the Holy Communion, we've got a visible, tangible expression of God's love. I suppose we could live with just one eye, one ear, one lung, one kidney. But you and I are happier and healthier when we've got both. You can live with the Word, and we want to be people of the Word and love His Word. But we also want to hear His invitation to come to His supper. And we just become healthier and happier people when you have both. And so the first reason I would give you as to why we want to come with thankful hearts is that you've got to see the Lord Jesus here. He's the one who's feeding you and blessing you. And He's reaching out to hug you tonight and kiss you and say, "You're my child, and I don't want anything to ever separate you from me, and I'll do everything possible to take care of you while you're on the way to eternal life." That's His first message, and you want to just say, "Thank you, Lord, for caring about me, your wayward child. Thank you for helping me and loving me the way you do." Okay, but there's another reason why we want to come always with thankful hearts, and that is because this is a sacrament of strength. It strengthens us in every way and prepares us for the battles of life. Often the pastor says at Holy Communion, "And now may the true body and precious blood of our Savior strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting." The Holy Eucharist is meant to strengthen God's people for the journey. And God knows how we need to be strengthened, that we are weak and we need His help. And so He's here with His true body and blood to fortify us and prepare us for whatever challenges we have. I'm going to use a picture of some batteries. Every battery that you know of will always run down. If you didn't have an alternator in your vehicle, that battery would not last very long. batteries run down, you and I have spiritual batteries. And sometimes we're not aware that they're running down, and sometimes we get on the red. That's where a person is rather careless about his faith and not even realizing he's at the breaking point. But sometimes we are satisfied with just 2 bars or 3 bars in the battery, and that's where Satan and the world can, boy, bring out the temptations, and we're so weak, we're pulled in this direction and we're pulled in that direction, and we say, oh Lord, my life is just a mess, I'm just in trouble, help me. Well, we need help. This is a sacrament of strength for weak people who have trouble with temptations and trials and challenges of life, and so we are told to come. And the problems and troubles of life are endless. Let's say there's suffering and death in your family right now. Right now in my family, my brother-in-law just died. And I'm preparing myself to go to Oregon for a funeral. But you got to hear the Lord say to you, come to my table. He who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And so he's here to remind us that he died for our sins, that he rose again from the dead, and that because he lives, we too shall live. And he comforts us in the hour of death and in our trial and in our grief. Well, you may have financial problems where you don't know how you're going to make ends meet. Your marriage may be on the rocks. Your job may be insecure. The future may be very bleak as you look at what's out there for you. The sacrament is calling you. Come to my table, the Lord Jesus says. You need strength for these battles. Now, the Eucharist is not going to pay your bills. But the Lord Jesus is going to say to you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you through the trials and troubles. I'll bring you through. And so we say, with St. Paul, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, it is Christ in us, the hope of glory, and these batteries get charged, and we can go forth with joy and peace and power to hit anything that is out there for us, because the apostle reminds us, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And Christ comes to us through his word, definitely. But he comes in a very special way in the Holy Communion. So hear him say to you, you've got problems? Come, let me help you with them. And that's the other thing I want you to do. When you come to the Lord's table tonight, may your mind be fixed on a certain problem. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, I'm struggling with this problem. I need help. And if I don't come to you, I know I'll never make it through. So please help me. Give me strength, Lord. And when you do that, it just enriches the sacrament because the Savior then just funnels his energy to that problem which you're addressing. And he says, you bring me your cares, and I will care for you. So if God is for you in the sacrament, who can be against you? You want to come for strength for what lies ahead. And you never know what lies ahead, all the problems that we can encounter. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Another analogy I want to share with you, because we can relate to batteries. We all know of a car that won't start. And that's terrible if a Christian has finally gone to the brink and he just doesn't have a faith to move forward. Let's never get into the red zone, okay? Let's keep feeding our faith, word and sacrament. We're happier, healthier people when we do. Another analogy, blood transfusion. People get a blood transfusion for a number of reasons. Their blood count is so low. Their color is grayish white. They can't fight off infection, and they have no energy. They can barely open up their eyes. But when a patient receives a blood transfusion, all of a sudden the color comes back into their skin, and they can open up their eyes, and there's a brightness in their eyes, and now they have power to fight off infection. That's the same way it is with us in the Lord's Supper. He comes with His true body and His precious blood to infuse us with His power and His peace and His love. And we are just the poorer for it when we don't take advantage of the invitation to come to my table and be infused with strength for the battles of life. So that's another reason why we come with thanksgiving. Your Savior is so good. He's here to feed you and help you in every way. But now here's a third reason why we want to never take the sacrament for granted, but always come with thanksgiving. Namely, we are made one with Christ in this supper and one with each other. So that's one reason why we call this the Holy Communion. We commune with our Lord, yes, but we commune with each other as well. And one of the practices that we have here at the church, I think it's a good habit that Pastor Rich has instituted. When we come to the table, after we've received the elements, he says, "Now join hands." And we do. And what is that symbolizing? We are all different people with different problems, but we are one body in Christ. And therefore, we lay aside any friction that we may have with fellow members or any superficial personality problems. We lay that aside because we are one body in Christ, and the more we are one, the more work we can do for the Lord. If we stay off by ourselves, we can do very little work for the Lord. We have a common mission. We have a common goal. Our common mission is to go make disciples. And that's what this church is all about. It's a salvation ministry. We want people to be brought to Christ, and we want people to be sent out in His name to make disciples and keep disciples for Christ and for everlasting life. So we come to be strengthened, and we come to be encouraged in our mission. But our goal, what is our common goal? And friend, let me tell you this, that everyone who comes to the Lord's table tonight will be gathered around the wedding banquet table in heaven. That's our goal. We don't want anyone missing from the wedding banquet table in heaven. In fact, Holy Communion is called a foretaste of heavenly joys. And one of the descriptions of heaven, it's great because sometimes people say, well, what are we going to do in heaven? You just won't understand it because heaven is another type of existence, far different from this earth. But the Lord says, I'm getting everything ready for the great wedding banquet feast in heaven. The Lord is preparing a party for us with the saints and angels, and so I want you to look forward to that time when we come to our home in heaven. This earth is not your home. We are on the way to home, real home, lasting home, perfect home, filled with joy and peace. And so we don't want to take the sacrament for granted, but we want to come with a thankful heart because every time we come, we are drawn closer to our Lord and closer with one another. So the Lord Jesus, on the night when He was betrayed, He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you." Then He took the cup, gave thanks, and said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of your sins." My major point that I'm trying to drive home tonight is, if the Lord Jesus gave thanks, on that night when he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, on such an agonizing night, he gave thanks. How much more we, his people, when you come to the Lord's table, give thanks. Why? Because you have a special, personal, tangible, visible expression of his love, that he's reaching out to you to hug you and to kiss you. Believe that with all your heart. Secondly, you come thankfully because he strengthens weak people for the battles of life, and his strength is more than sufficient. Thirdly, we come because we want to draw closer to him, but we want to draw closer to one another and be strengthened for our ministry here at Grace Lutheran until the Lord calls us home. So on this Maundy Thursday, we think of the Lord in the upper room. After he had celebrated the Passover meal, Judas went out to do his dastardly deed. The Lord instituted the Holy Eucharist, meal of thanksgiving. He did it all by grace, through faith. He gives us this gift. He gives us our wonderful salvation. And the response of God's people must always be from the bottom of our hearts, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and for his mercy endureth forever." Amen. Amen. Amen.